8:21. I've been planning on, Christian, you don't know this. Christian McWhorter is joining us this morning. He's the Lincoln historian with the Presidential Library. First off, Christian, morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You have no idea that I've been literally planning on doing something like this for weeks, and I'm so glad you were able to join us.
Well, happy to be here, yeah.
We're going to talk about Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, it's interesting, and I do, you know, days in history, things like this, and it's amazing how often Abraham Lincoln did this on this date. This mm-hmm. week is, I think, the anniversary of him, his plan for pardoning everybody, amnesty for everybody, and the reconstruction of the South. I think that's the anniversary this week, in fact. You know, and that's timely. When you think about today and the arguments in social media about race and all these things, and we're almost reliving the Civil War when this guy did so much to say, put it behind us, we're one country.
I think that's partly true. I think the anniversary you're referencing is on December 8th, 1863, Lincoln issued his Proclamation of Amnesty and Reconstruction.
Right,
which was,
that's it.
Yeah, which was what we now call the 10% plan, right? Where everybody in a state under occupation at that time by Union soldiers, because of course the war wasn't over yet, it was a little over halfway over by that point, had to swear a loyalty oath to the United States. And if 10% of those people did that, then that state would be allowed to kind of resume its normal participation in the Union. Because of course Lincoln never actually recognized any of the Southern states left the Union when they formed the Confederacy because he thought that was illegal, right? So, I think that shows to a certain extent what you're talking about, that Lincoln, and even the principle that Lincoln never saw the Southern states as having left the Union, Lincoln never loses sight during the war that white Southerners are still Americans, even if they're trying, you know, even if a lot of them, thousands and thousands of them, are actively fighting to leave the Union. Lincoln still believes they're Americans, and Lincoln absolutely still considers them under his charge as president. So that's the reconciliationist part of what you're saying. On the flip side, though, what I would add to that, though, is he's not just letting them do whatever they want either, though. In that oath, they have to swear that anything that their state governments have done in regard to ending slavery, they have to abide by it. And so, you know, it's let's bring the country back together, but, you know, we're going to do it in a way that will keep this war from happening again, and in recognition that there's a whole other group of Americans, African Americans, particularly in the South, who we need to change the way the government looks at them.
Right.
They're no longer property anymore. We have to figure out a way to incorporate them into the United States of America. And in late 1863, Lincoln hasn't quite figured out how to do that yet.
It's interesting what you can learn from a Josie Wales movie with Clint Eastwood. Literally, I'm thinking, yeah, I remember this in Josie Wales, right? It didn't work out well for Josie the rest of the game. Now, here's the meanest question of the day right now. And I think this is mean intellectually because it's so doggone subjective. I warned Christian. He says, you're not going to tell me what it is? No, I'm just warning you it's coming. And this goes like Josie Wales, right? In all the movies and Lincoln and the statues and Civil War, he has obtained such an iconic status, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just in Illinois, everywhere. Would that iconic, that literally this iconic image we have of Abraham Lincoln exist had he not been assassinated?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? And I'd actually like to know your answer on that first. What do you think?
I think,
I'm
going to
turn
well,
it on you, and then I will answer. I promise I'll answer.
All right, I'll tell you my thought on this, and I've actually thought about this quite a bit. The collective grief response in this country, we have mm-hmm. a tendency to romanticize people after the loss, even though they may have been hugely controversial, and Lincoln was.
Right.
But
right.
I think, as illustrated by Kennedy, and you take that template from Kennedy and Lincoln, and you look at it, highly contentious, not very well liked, close margins in some cases, and hated in others, right? But the assassination changes the way the country remembers them collectively as a result of the grief.
I think you're really onto something there. The one of the things we forget about Lincoln, because, like you say, he's just he's everywhere. He's on our money. He's, you know, if he's in cartoons, you know, everybody knows what Lincoln, everybody in the world knows what Lincoln looked like, right? Like we plaster his face on everything. And so he's become more of a symbol than a person. And one of the things we forget when we do that is what a controversial president he was,
yes.
Right? Absolutely. Half the country tried to break away and become a different country because they didn't like the way that presidential election turned out. Like, they were that opposed to this guy being president, right? And then even in the North, it's not like the whole North rallied around him either. Northern Democrats fiercely opposed Lincoln throughout the Civil War. You know, Lincoln was not a popular president for most of the time he's in office. For a while, he runs for re-election in the middle of the war. He thinks he's going to lose. You know, this is a very controversial figure, and I think you're right. One of the big things that helps Lincoln's reputation. I mean, let me be clear. Lincoln deserves his reputation. I think you agree with me.
I do agree with that.
Because he got shot, we think he's a great guy, and he really wasn't. Lincoln was an excellent president. Lincoln was a key factor in the North winning the war, and obviously he was a major player in ending slavery. But a lot of people at the time didn't see him that way, and certainly as a result of his assassination. There's this massive, there's never been an outpouring of grief in this country, probably in terms of like percentage, than there was when Lincoln got shot. I mean, people are crowding along the sides of the rail line as his funeral train is passed just to see the train. They're not even going to the memorial services in the cities because they can't get there. Like, there's this huge outpouring of grief for Lincoln. And there's a lot of ideas wrapped up in that. I mean, some of that is Lincoln becomes the symbol of everybody that died in the war, right? So they're all mourning Lincoln. And what
That's
they're really mourning, too,
yeah.
is this incredible disaster. Catastrophe they've all suffered together, right? But I think you're absolutely right. The other thing I would say, and you're probably thinking the same thing, is Reconstruction is a lot trickier than in politically than the war in a lot of ways. Lincoln have come out of Reconstruction with the same reputation? You know, he handles the war really well, and he comes out of the war, but he thinks he's an excellent war leader. Would we feel the same way about him if he'd gone through Reconstruction?
Yeah. You know, would you think, you look at this guy, and I in particular caught my mind when you used the word symbol, because he was a human being, right? I mean, I've been I've not been to your museum, which everybody says, what? You've not been? But I was at the old one. My dad taught at Springfield, one of the colleges there, so I spent a lot of time when he was working going through the museum and going to the Lincoln places and, you know, all the places he lived in his law office. He's a funny guy. He's a smart guy. He's a guy who's lost many elections and doesn't give up. He listens to people. He has problems at home with his family, just like everybody does. You know, when we start looking at this guy, you know, Wrestling Hall of Fame, right? Who knows? One of the few presidents that has a patent. I mean, he's a thinker. He sees a problem. He solves it. I think that speaks to his character. But I've always been curious about something. Was his last official act creating the Secret Service?
I don't believe so. The Secret Service has a very kind of hazy history, and it a lot of history of the Secret Service gets mixed up because it was originally a very different kind of thing. You know, the Secret Service ends up being involved actually in the efforts to thwart when they try to steal Lincoln's body here. And at that point, the Secret Service is more of kind of a detective group. And I think it has its roots back then, but I don't believe that was his last official political act, but I'll admit I'm not 100% on that. But what I will comment on, something you talked about with Lincoln as a human being, the thing I try to emphasize with people when I give Lincoln, or when I give tours of the museum, or I give presentations or whatever, is Lincoln was absolutely a flawed human being, because of course everybody's flawed, right? But one of Lincoln's absolute strengths was that Lincoln knew what he didn't know. Lincoln was a guy who, you know, when he would enter into a situation, whether it's, I want to become a lawyer, or I want to become a politician, or wow, it looks like I'm going to be president during a war. Lincoln would, or I want to invent a patent for how to lift boats when they go aground in rivers. Lincoln would go out and he would, you know, get the right books off of friends or the library, and he would just tackle the thing, right? Like, Lincoln knew what, you know, Lincoln, his whole life, he had less than 1 year of formal schooling, and Lincoln learned how to educate himself and how to better himself. And his whole life, Lincoln was that way, right up until the end. You know, the I mentioned earlier, Lincoln's opinion, you know, ideas about African Americans and emancipation, all that. That's a really good example of that, where Lincoln starts the war, not really sure, like, he doesn't like slavery, he knows that, but he's not sure he wants to abolish it. His attitudes about African Americans are, you know, pretty racist. As the war goes on, and as Lincoln sees African Americans fight in the Union Army, as he has interactions with guys like Frederick Douglass, Lincoln understands that maybe he was wrong about this. He also comes to understand that, okay, slavery is what caused this war, so we need to, you know, this needs to be part of the Union war effort then, is to eradicate slavery, right, through Emancipation Proclamation, 13th right. Amendment. This is a guy who grows. He's a flawed guy, but he knows that, and he's always trying to work on those flaws. I think that's a really important part of Lincoln's character.
Yeah, and that's important in everybody's character. You know, when you say he learns how to learn and finds the people and books he needs to learn, the minute you said that, my first thought is, here's a good illustration of that exactly, the Continental Railroad and Lincoln's involvement mm-hmm. on that. And people don't understand what it took to accomplish this politically, logistically, the getting the land, moving federal soldiers so they voted different areas. I mean, when you look at what went on, that is down and dirty politics to get this done, and Abraham Lincoln was right down in the mud with the rest of them.
It's also a good lesson. Lincoln gets a lot of credit for the Continental Railroad, and I think he deserves some of it, but I don't think he deserves as much as he gets, because that, it's a really good example of
the romanticizing, like, it after the fact,
a long-term political project, because that idea of expanding railways, especially the Continental Railroad, had been around for decades. And a lot of those guys who are Republicans, those guys had previously been Whigs, right? The Republican Party is a pretty new party when Lincoln becomes president. He's their first president. And that had been part of the Whig platform. And they've been trying for decades to get a big enough majority in Congress and enough control of the federal government to put through these railroad projects. And so part of what happens in the Civil War is, because all these Democrats who had opposed those programs, so many of them leave Congress because their states secede, so they don't go to Congress anymore. The Republicans get this massive majority, and a bunch of them are former Whigs. So, and Lincoln is right there with them. And Lincoln's very first political statement he ever makes when he's running for the state legislature down here, or up in New Salem, he talks about railroads and expanding railroads. So these guys finally get, 30 years later, these guys finally have complete control of the federal government. And so, of course, they start pushing through railroads. You know, it's a real political story, too, of just this. They finally get their chance to do it, and they do it. And, you know, and of course, what that ends up doing for the country as well. So, yeah, it's you know, there's always these big context for this, but Lincoln is at the center of a lot of it. Yeah, he's a patient guy too, which is a good thing to be.
You know, it's always hard for me to imagine actors in this time period, because film didn't exist, right? Theater acting was a different item, but there were still very. Can you imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger shooting the president? All right, I mean, when you think about it, John Wilkes Booth was a very well-known actor. Now, he had a brother named Edwin. Now, the story mm-hmm. goes that Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert, is on a train platform in New Jersey. The crowd mm-hmm. starts to push on him. He falls into an open space between the platform and a moving train, and the person that reaches and pulls him to safety is John Wilkes Booth's brother, Edwin Booth. Is that true?
That's one of those stories. Yes, that story is out there. It comes from some reliable places. And the Lincolns had all kinds of interactions with the Booth family. I mean, Abraham Lincoln had seen Booth in plays. Robert, when he lives in Washington, is dating a girl, or he tries to date a girl that Booth is also dating. You know, John Wilkes Booth. I mean, this is a prominent person from probably the most famous acting. His father was a super famous actor too, right? He's They're this really famous acting family.
The Baldwins of their time.
Exactly. And that's another thing, you know, just we talked about Lincoln, how Lincoln's a symbol. Booth is very much a symbol now too, right? Booth is an assassin, you know, assassin. That's all he is. And that's another point that I always try to make to folks is, you know, we think of Booth as an assassin, and obviously he was, but he's not Lee Harvey Oswald. He's not some obscure, you know, guy. It's everybody. When Booth kills Lincoln, everybody knows who John Wilkes Booth is when they see that in the newspaper. So it's not just, oh my God, the president's been assassinated, which is something that's never happened before, right? When Lincoln gets assassinated, it's, and he's been assassinated by this famous actor who I just saw perform, right, you know, whatever, in, you know, Philadelphia, right? Like it's just think of the, you know, the headlines, how salacious that story, like you said. I mean, that was, what a salacious story that would be now. And it was then too, you know, it was a big deal that Booth was an actor. This was a known person who shot the president.
And of course, at the time, our opinions of actors was considerably lower too. They weren't exactly the highest cast of people. You know, the one thing that I think is interesting, and as an Illinoisan, I'm exceedingly proud. I mean, when I bring up subjects like child abduction and human slavery and trafficking, I'm thinking, how can this be happening in Illinois, the land of Lincoln? It's interesting how you see these things. And here at the same time, Illinois is the land of Lincoln, and somebody in Kentucky go, hardly. Heck, he lived down here till he's 21.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I mean, I'm always wondering, we won't have a little war between us and Kentucky sometime going, who has Lincoln, right? But he was from Illinois, and he had a tragic childhood. His mother died of a sickness, I think, in Indiana. He was a country boy. I mean, shooting guns to test rifles outside the White House. He was literally that country boy and that common sense country boy that I think was an underlying theme throughout this. And I would hold this up because country boys, it's really not about how you get it done. It's about getting it done as it done. And I remember the story that he was told that one of the reporters supposedly says, you know, Grant is drinking so much, how does he get anything done? And Abraham Lincoln says something to the effect of, find out what he drinks so I can buy a barrel for the rest of our generals. He was a country boy.
He was, he spends his first 7 years in Kentucky, then he moves to Indiana. He basically grows up in Indiana, and then he comes to Illinois in 1830. And he, that upbringing is, yes, he has a very frontier kind of country upbringing. What he's doing in Indiana especially is he's working on his dad's farm. He's splitting rails, right, which becomes a major part of his political persona in 1860, right? And in 1860, his first run for presidency, that's when we get this iconic image of Lincoln with his sleeves rolled up.
The rail splitter.
Working on the farm, you know, and that's, a lot of that is about the frontier, right? Lincoln, you know, at that time, Illinois, especially when Lincoln's growing up, Illinois is the frontier, you know, they're just pushing westward. And so Lincoln, you know, that's what they're emphasizing. They're trying to get Lincoln, they're getting people to vote for Lincoln because, oh, he's not one of these hoity-toity, right? Tell me we haven't heard this before, right? He's not one of these hoity-toity Washington insiders. He's a rough and tumble guy from the frontier. And that's partly right. And you're right that he never loses entirely that part of himself. But I would add, but Lincoln works very hard to not be that person,
and
right?
That, and that's one of the reasons, Christian,
life that his father's made, and he does not want that life.
Is that
Lincoln
one of the reasons?
Very hard to join the middle class and become a lawyer. And by 1860, that's who Lincoln is. Lincoln isn't splitting any rails anymore. Right. Lincoln is a guy as an eloquent speaker, you know, going and doing court cases. But he never loses that common touch. I think that's a lot of what you're getting at. He has a kind of common sense attitude, and one of the reasons he's a great speaker is because he's good at. Why Lincoln's such a great writer, he's probably the best president we've ever had as writer, right? The best writer president, is he can pack ideas into easy to understand sentences. You know, even it still kind of reads 19th century to us, but you read the Gettysburg Address, you can tell what's going on, but it's also beautiful. And that's those two worlds of Lincoln coming together, I think, right?
Yeah,
he's a man of the people, but he's got this incredible intelligence and that he can use then to convey these ideas and reach these people.
Yeah, and I think marrying Mary Todd was part of that, taking him and moving him up in class.
Oh, sure. And what he likes about Mary is Mary is really well educated. Mary, it comes from a prominent slaveholding family in Kentucky. And Mary has got way more education than Abraham does. And so when she comes to Springfield, all these single political guys, like Lincoln and Stephen Douglas, they all are, you know, they all fall for Mary because Mary can talk politics with them. She knows all these witty jokes. And Lincoln is really smitten with her because she has, you know, she kind of represents this world he wants to be a part of and that he ends up kind of being a part of, you know, by marrying her. So it's their relationship. That's we could do a whole other thing just on the two of them. That's
I hope
very
we do.
Interesting corner of the Lincoln story. Yeah.
I hope we do because I do want to invite you back. But before I go, I got another mean one for you. All right.
Okay.
If you got your choice, which actor depicted Abraham Lincoln the best? Which movie about Abraham Lincoln the most accurate? I mean, I've got a choice here. Before you do this to me again, I already picked out my choice.
Well, go ahead.
Lance Henriksen is number one, and Jimmy Stewart is number two.
Oh, you want, like, who I would pick, not who's played him.
Yeah, right?
Did Lance Henriksen ever play Lincoln?
Yeah, and the guy's, like, 5'3", and he plays a 6'4" guy, so I figured he's a heck of a good actor.
When did he play Lincoln?
It was a I think it was a TV movie. And it was,
really?
Yeah.
I love Lance Henriksen.
And I do, too, ever since Aliens, right? And I'm going, how do you get this guy who's 5 foot play the 6 foot guy? But they did. And, you know, I mean, but who do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody talks about Daniel Day-Lewis, and he's the most recent one. And I do think Daniel Day-Lewis does a good job. And, he gets all method about it, and apparently he was a total pain in the butt to be around because he wouldn't break character. There's this picture. I urge everyone to, if you can find it, Google Daniel Day-Lewis when he's in Richmond, because somebody took a picture of him eating at a restaurant in Richmond. And he's like, he's got the beard, like he's obviously not like, you know, filming, but like he can't break character. So he's out there basically acting like Lincoln just in public in Richmond. And I just can't imagine what it would have been like to be in that restaurant with him. I also really like Abe Lincoln in Illinois. I think Henry Fonda, that's a movie that a lot of people don't watch anymore, and I think Fonda does a really good job.
And you know what?
That, conveying, I don't know what the right word. That kind of quiet calm of Lincoln, but the drive, you know,
and the voice. There's something in the voice, in his gait, and the way he walks, and he ponders. You know, because they talk about how he would stroll and things along that line. There was a lot written about that. Hey, we've been joined this morning by Christian McWhirter. He's a Lincoln historian, Presidential Library, our guest this morning, and I want to invite you back soon.
Sure thing, and I'll also tell everyone, you know, the museum is closed right now due to COVID restrictions, but we do have a sale going on right now at our gift shop, which you can get to through our website, which is presidentlincoln.illinois.gov. Everything's 15% off. We have lots of gifts for the holidays and stuff, so please log on and see what's going on the website, and please support us if you can.